Guess what day it is?
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
6:10 in the morning? It is indeed the Steve Cochran Show. Wet and rainy morning in Chicago. How about it, Steve?
Yeah, there's a lot of cars on the Eisenhower, and let's go live to Mary. Mary, why am I still in traffic?
I believe it's due to an accident at Racine inbound in the two right lanes. So go to the left.
Oh, that would slow things down because we have been going, since Mannheim, we have been going, at one point we got up to 9. We were 9 miles an hour at one point, and that's as fast as it's gotten.
Sorry, Steve.
I like Mary's advice.
I think it's your fault.
Get in the left lane.
Yeah. The people at Racine, are they okay?
I don't know. The two right lanes are blocked with the accident. It's fairly new, so hopefully they will be okay. It's only been going on about 10 minutes. Just in time for you to head into work.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, live from the Eisenhower, I'm Steve. How's everybody else doing?
We're doing well.
We're doing just fine.
As good as can be expected.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
Cubs magic number sits at 3, Dave?
It sits at 3. So they even if they win this afternoon in the last game in St. Louis, then the magic number would be 1, and they come home and play the Brewers beginning tomorrow night. But here's what could happen. If the, let's say the Cubs' magic number is 1 and they lose to Milwaukee, then the Cardinals play late tomorrow night in San Francisco. That game will end like around midnight our time. So the Cubs could clinch the division while everybody's asleep tomorrow night. Not everybody.
Well, that wouldn't be right.
I think that's what happened last year.
Celebrate?
Yeah. I mean,
that happened last year?
I think that is what happened last year. So, you want to have the fans be able to party it up at the ballpark and the players come out and take a victory lap and all that.
And be sprayed with champagne?
Yeah. Spray the fans in the bleachers with champagne. They love that.
Did they actually spray the fans? Because the kids shouldn't be getting champagne spray, should they?
I think it's happened before.
Oh, yeah. They stand on top of the dugout and spray the crowd.
Yeah.
No, I mean the kids on the team. Nobody on that team's older than 15.
Well, that's a good point. They're not technically a legal drinking age.
Right. Well, beating the Brewers is not the biggest problem in the world, is it?
What? No. I mean, it wasn't for the Cubs last week, except for maybe one game. But, but they want to be spoilers. I mean, Cleveland came in here to play the White Sox, probably thought, well, that's not going to be an issue, and they've been pounded 2 nights in a row. So you never know.
What if the Cubs, when are the next time the Cubs and the Cardinals play at the same time? So is it like Friday night they both play?
No, it'll be tomorrow night. I mean, after they play in St. Louis this afternoon against each other, and then tomorrow night. Simultaneously? No, because the Cubs play an afternoon game on Friday, and the Cardinals play at night. So if they don't get it done by tomorrow night, at Wrigley, but I think they will. They'll get it wrapped up tomorrow.
Well, look at it. Think about what we're talking about here. We're talking about the problem of when the Cubs will celebrate the division. I mean, how much has this changed?
Right. I mean, I think if you celebrate at 3 in the morning, what's the difference? You're still a champion. So
you know, I'll be at the airport to greet them when they come back.
I know you will.
All right, probably not.
Hey, Steve. By the way, accident just cleared.
Yes, it did.
Yes.
Yes, it did.
So I expect you here in 1 minute.
Yes, well, I'm beaming in now. So nothing dramatically new to report on the campaign. Trump did a speech last night about his child care plan and said Hillary Clinton has no plan. In fact, she does. We'll talk about that. The debates coming up, there will be a moderator. Trump's campaign has to agree on it. But yesterday there was some noise about why do we need a moderator? We'll get into that. Karen Conti in a little bit as well. This is all in the first hour of the program. And eventually I'll be in the studio. So let's get to Mary with the rest of the traffic, and then we'll continue at 720 WGM.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Inside Edition with Deborah Norville.
In the morning, 720 WGN. This is the Steve Cochran Show. Boy, when I was growing up, Dave, Deborah Norville was one of my favorite journalists growing up, and she was on the Today Show. I loved watching her on Today. She was and is awesome.
Terrific. Yeah.
Always got the story, always got it right. One of the best.
Always look good. Great.
Always look good. Always look good. Well, this week, now she's on Inside Edition, as we all know. I watch that usually every night. Inside Edition kicking off its 29th season. Deborah Norville's anchored the series since 1995 and joins us this morning. Good morning, Deborah.
I know. We're coming up on a big anniversary. I need to look up what people are supposed to get for 30.
Yeah, Dave, look that
probably
up.
Cardboard or something boring.
No, we had to look up something the other day. I think it was the third or fourth anniversary, and it was leather.
Yeah, it was.
So we know you're not going to be getting leather. You have a new book out, too.
We're well past that one.
Yeah, we are. Chicken Soup for the Soul, The Power of Gratitude, which you co-authored. So now you are famous journalist and author as well. So tell us about the new book.
Yeah. I'm so excited about it. I wrote a book a couple of years ago called Thank You Power, and it was a phenomenal hit with people because it just pointed out the science behind gratitude, that when you focus on things, and I could be grateful for the cup of coffee in front of me right now, which I actually am, and it doesn't have to be big stuff, but when you focus on what you're grateful for, the science has proved all this nifty stuff happens. You're more energetic, you're actually healthier, you get more stuff done. It's a really nifty list, and sometimes people need to hear about other folks' grateful situations in order to find stuff in their own life, and that's what this new Chicken Soup book does. It's part of the Chicken Soup series that everybody loves, and my co-author Amy Newmark and I went through many hundreds of stories and culled it down to 101 that we think are the best, that will just make your heart feel, aw, gee, that's neat. And then you go, you know what? I'm grateful for this. And that starts this upward spiral that just makes all kinds of good stuff happen in your life.
I think we need that. And I think it's so poetic and so great that you wrote this book just because of the stories that you cover, the stories that you have covered over the years.
Yeah.
People always say to me, how do you separate yourself with the stories that affect, EFF, and affect you?
Yep.
So this is wonderful. It kind of gets into your inner soul, too.
Well, it does. You know, look, in the news business, whether you're reporting it as you and I do, or you're hearing it as the folks who are listening to this conversation right now are, the news can make you sad sometimes, but the stories that we share can also uplift you. And I think it's important that we do that. You know, you go, somebody's listening to us right now and they're on the Kennedy Expressway and there may be an accident somewhere or a traffic tie up. And if there's an accident, people invariably slow down and look at the crash and kind of marvel and, you know, rubberneck at what's going on there. We also need to slow down when we're going past the church when the bride and groom are coming out. And that's kind of what this book does. It just allows us to slow down. Like, there's this story of a lady in there. She was downsized out of her job, and she could see it was coming because it was that day when everybody was being called in to the boss's office. And when they walked out, they had the separation papers in their hand and a very long face. And sure enough, they tapped her on the shoulder and said, Lindy, come in here. So she goes in there, and the guy who's doing the firing looked so beaten down. This was not an easy thing for him to do. That even though she's being fired, she says to him, thank you. Thank you so much for this job. It didn't last as long as I wanted, but it's been incredible. And yeah, we moved my family here, and it's going to be tough, but this has been an amazing experience, and I just want to thank you. And how are you doing? And she turned the tables, and he was so blown away by that, that that night she switched off her phone. She's, you know, lamenting the situation with her husband. She turns on her phone just before she's going to go to bed. There is a voicemail from a recruiter saying, I think you'd be perfect for this position. And she had been recommended by the guy who fired her.
Wow.
That's karma.
That's good karma.
That's gratitude.
Yeah, you lay out the good karma
in it,
and it comes back to you.
Deborah, do you think you have a better appreciation of this than maybe if you go back to when you were working in TV in Chicago or doing the Today Show, that maybe some of this just comes with life experiences and you understand a little more about the way things work and the need to be grateful?
Yeah, but you know what? The other thing, because I talked to some experts who study this and said, well, how much of this is just pre-wired into us? And about half of your personality, whatever that is sort of naturally what you are inclined to be. But that means the other half is learned behavior. And we can all learn to be more grateful. And all it takes is just finding that one thing. Maybe you just hit green lights the whole way to work. And you were running late, and suddenly you got to work on time when you thought you were going to be in trouble. It doesn't have to be big stuff, and usually it isn't. And most things that make people grateful are the things that remind them of the interconnectedness with the people in their world. It's experiences, it's relationships that give our lives meaning. It's not the stuff. You can go to the richest person on the planet, and he'll have a lot of stuff. He might not be very happy. In fact, there's some interesting studies that show when you reach a certain level of income, that your needs are met and you are comfortable, not lavish, but comfortable. You don't worry about where your next meal is going to come from, and you know that the electricity is going to stay on. There's not a huge difference in happiness levels between people at that level and someone who's making $75,000 more per year. I find that pretty interesting.
The gradation, $75,000 more a year, is there an income gradation, you know, where people appear to be happier based on money?
Not really. Not really. Once your basic needs are met, there is not a measurable enough difference in happiness levels. For instance, the person with the worst house in the good neighborhood is happier. The person with the best house in a bad neighborhood is happier than someone with the worst house in the good neighborhood, because the guy in the good neighborhood who doesn't have a house that's as fancy, there's that push to I need to trade up, need to make it a little bit better. That creates a pressure. But the guy who's got the nice house in the not so great neighborhood, he doesn't feel that pressure. So it's the pressure. It's the pressure of comparison. And so if you're comparing yourself to others because of the stuff, you're probably not going to be the one with the most stuff. But if you're comparing yourself to someone with the relationships, if you've got a meaningful relationship in your life, you are a wealthy person.
I don't know if you talked about this before I walked in, but when it comes to gratitude in your own life, did you have a gratitude mentor? Did you have somebody that really, you know, instilled that in you?
No, I didn't. I think for me, it's sort of been a survival mechanism. You and I have known each other a long time, Stephen. I think I've shared the story with you years ago. My mother was ill for most of my childhood, and she died when I was 20. And so my mom wasn't like the other moms. You know, she was the one in the wheelchair, the one with the terrible arthritis and the difficulties that came with that. And I would still find things that I could be proud about my mom, or things that, you know, well, wow, today was a good day because mom was well enough to come to school and pick us up. So for me, I was always looking for the silver lining, because on the surface, people would say, oh, there's not much of a silver lining there. So I think it was a survival technique for me. And honestly, when there were those rough spots in my career, when the Today Show thing blew up on me, again, my default was, there's got to be a silver lining. Let's find the silver lining. So I was kind of pre-wired to that, which is probably why finding out the science about this was so intriguing to me.
I give you a lot of credit for that, though, because a lot of that is self-motivating, and as times change, and every 5 years, I have a friend who claims every 5 years you live a half life, and as your life changes and you have a family and things, your perspective changes. But, you know, you have to be able to get up in the morning and kick yourself in the butt and make sure you're doing the right things for you. And by the way, 29th season of Inside Edition?
Yeah, I've been there 21 years.
21 years.
Awesome. And the show's still great. The show is still fantastic.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, no, you do a fast.
And we're so grateful to be on WLS. I mean, it's such a powerhouse station. And I was never able to work there when I was in Chicago. I was always at WMAQ, and I love, love, love the people there. But we're just delighted to continue to be on WLS and a part of their lineup, because it's just a great station. I can't believe my friend Linda is retiring.
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
She's done a fabulous job. I know you got to run, but is there one behind-the-scenes person that's been with you on the show the entire 21 years?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot. We're kind of like the Hotel California.
Oh, nobody ever leaves.
Anytime you want, but you never leave.
All right, happy season kickoff.
Thank you so much. Always great to be with you both.
All right,
bye-bye, Deborah.
Deborah Norville in Inside Edition on Channel 7. It kicks off the 29th season today, right?
Yeah, it really is still a good show.
Yeah, she does a great job.
They're doing two stories, one on Hawaii, the dangers of Hawaii, and a coffee investigation that they're airing on Friday, which is supposed to be pretty good.
We'll come back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
Podcast of the show, out and available everywhere. Yesterday, I talked to Elizabeth Vargas from ABC News about her fight with alcoholism, and a pretty good conversation. So check that out amongst the other podcasts. You can get the full show as well. Sometimes it gets to be 10 o'clock. You might want to go back and listen to the entire show, see what you think, and then send me notes. But wherever podcasts are, normally for you in your podcast-consuming world, you'll be able to find this show, The Steve Cochran Show, and you can, of course, do it at WGN Radio and WGNRadio.com. So I was playing golf yesterday with three pals of mine, not to be named here, and they're all going to vote for Trump. So for those of you who, you know, think that I am so anti-Trump, I can't have any Trump in my life, these are three friends. Mm-hmm. Now, I beat them with 6 irons. No, of course I didn't. But it struck me while we were playing in conversation, and this is going to sound like I'm knocking them, and I'm really not. But we're here 60 days, 54 days, whatever the number is, before the November 8th election. And a lot of people are barely connected to the race. And sometimes I think we get lost in what we do here because we swim in this pool every day. You know, you're just inundated with the news and for preparation for the show and reading all the material and just consuming whatever is out there. Most people don't do that. Most people have lives. most people are getting on with their lives and they'll connect whenever they connect. The reason I bring this up is you got to do a little homework. And this is not to slam these guys, but I think you know where I am on this. I am not just anybody but Trump. I'm realistic. The anybody but Trump at this point means it's either going to be Hillary or it's going to be Gary Johnson. And that's it. To vote for Gary Johnson and William, well, you could certainly argue it's a wasted vote. I don't believe in that concept of wasted vote because I don't believe votes are wasted. I believe it's your chance to exercise your piece of democracy. So there's a couple of websites I want to alert you to, and this is whether you are hardcore in either direction, and certainly if you're in the middle. There's a website called iSideWith, iSideWith.com. If you go to iSideWith.com, there's a lot of different ways you can figure out who you would like to vote for. And this is not just presidential because, frankly, and we've talked about this a million times, the president of the United States, in the big picture, doesn't have as much effect over your day-to-day life and the smaller things than other offices do. Certainly the senator from your state, the senators from your state, your local congressional representative, your state reps, your school board, these are the people who really impact your daily life. Mm-hmm. The president impacts the huge things, which is what makes Trump, in my mind, dangerous. But if you go to iSideWith.com, you'll be able to decide whether or not Dick Durbin or, Tammy Duckworth, mm-hmm, or
Mark Kirk
are right for you.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to look at some other races, too. What I'm trying to get you to do is consider not just going, I'm a Democrat, so I'm going to vote just Democrat. I'm a Republican, I'm going to vote just Republican. And actually look at people who will be best for whatever your beliefs are in life.
Right.
If it turns out that way, well, then that's fine. But it's frankly lazy to go in and just vote Republican or just vote Democrat, whether you're my friends on the golf course or you're my friend, you're not my friends or whatever. So iSideWith is one. Another one is Vote Smart. Those are just two. There's lots of different options out there.
And it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long to do the survey.
It doesn't take long at all. And you'll actually be able to get into it, spend a few minutes on it, and look at it. Now, if you believe the media is biased and there's nobody in the media you can trust, well, then I can't talk to you. But there is legitimate reporting that goes on every day.
Yes, there is.
And the few newspapers that are left that still do it include the Chicago Tribune. And the Chicago Tribune, which can be written off by a lot of people as anti-this or anti-that. If you go to Cloud Street on the website at chicagotribune.com, you're going to see a lot of great information there. Rick Pearson, I'll give you a perfect example. Rick Pearson is on this radio station. Rick Pearson is, I always call him the finest political writer in America because it's true. Rick Pearson isn't for Democrats or Republicans because he really hates both of them because he's been traveling with them and reporting on them for years, and he's sick of all of them.
Yeah.
So there's fine reporting that still goes on, and it's not that hard to consume it. You know, when you're online and you're doing whatever you're doing in the course of your business day, take 10 minutes. I side with or vote smart. The Chicago Tribune, USA Today. USA Today does some really easily consumable political charts and graphs and things.
I like USA Today for that reason.
They're snack-packed for you.
Right.
So that you can actually decide as well. The point is, don't be just a Republican. Don't be just a Democrat. Open your mind a little bit and decide who is going to serve your interests best.
By the way, Gary Johnson is qualified for the ballot in all 50 states.
Right.
So he'll be on there, too.
And, and the Aleppo thing, which I thought would be, you know, curtains, check please.
Yeah.
No. As a matter of fact, he hasn't lost a step. Now, he hasn't gained a step either, but he hasn't lost a step. All right, let's do this. 6:47, we'll do traffic here. We got some stuff to give away before 7 o'clock. Six 51, John DeCausen here. John DeCausen and I will be doing a stand-up comedy show at Governor State University. And somebody's coming in from their place later, aren't they, today?
We have two people coming in from Governor State about 9 o'clock.
So we'll talk to them then. But we have a pair of tickets to give away every hour this morning to the show. So who's on the show?
Today?
No, not this show. On the show on the 24th.
Andrea's here. Dave is sitting next to me.
Got that. I can see them from here.
You're not here yet.
That should help my mood.
Yeah, I know.
So Governor State on the 24th.
Governor State on the 24th, 7 o'clock. Rocky Laporte, who we just found out will be doing the Tonight Show the Friday before. You can see him on national TV and then come see him in person.
So the Tonight Show is like his warm-up for the big show.
Yeah, how great is that?
What's funny is he left a message for John where he goes, I'm going to be doing the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon in New York. Really? The Tonight Show, that one with Jimmy Fallon in New York as opposed to another Tonight Show, Rock?
It was so good.
So you'll be able to watch Rocky Friday night and then come see him live Saturday night.
Pat McGann is also on the show.
And Pat's very funny.
How great is that? So,
a couple of Lettermans for Pat.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely hysterical. So I'm really looking forward to this.
And I did the Channel 9 Morning News one time. So, you know, I got to take over for me.
I think I sat next to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
so
you
that's
did,
pretty
actually.
Good. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Right? So come out. How do we get tickets?
You can go to online to centertickets.net, or you can contact the box office directly at 708-235-2222. And Governor State is located just south of the city. I-57 and Route 30, easy access to the Metra. It's a beautiful theater, too. It's a great campus.
Yeah, it's good. It's an urban, nice
fun.
People. All right, so you have a question each hour.
Yes.
And first correct caller to answer this question at 312-981-7200 gets spare tickets.
Right.
What's the topic this hour?
The topic, you make the choice, entertainment or sports?
Sports.
Sports is fun.
Sorry, I can't play.
You want sports?
Is fun.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, this is
this
one
is
of my
for
favorite.
The listeners now.
This is for the listeners.
Yes.
Yes.
First correct answer to this question.
1981. Traded to the Boston Celtics, two Hall of Famers, Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish. Who were they traded for?
Oh, it's an NBA question.
One person.
Ooh, okay. 1981,
worst trade in
Hall
history.
Of Famers.
Yes.
Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish were traded.
To the Boston Celtics.
Whom did the Celtics give up for them?
Right.
First correct answer, 312-981-7200. You get tickets for the Governor State Show. And by the way, if you're not planning on going to the show and you just want to show off that you know the answer to the question, you can play another time. But we're looking for people that actually are going to come to the show. All right. And at 6:54, I've had a longstanding policy, and Dave, you know this in particular, that I am not going to be a meteorologist in the Russian tundra. You know that about me. That's my longstanding
policy.
Well,
I know policy. It's not high on your list as something you would like to
right.
do.
Yeah. Five meteorologists posted on a remote Russian island have been trapped for over 2 weeks by polar bears who have surrounded the area. The weather station is on one of the Izvesti Islands in the High Arctic. That's why I don't go to the High Arctic anymore. Nothing but polar bears. Polar bears left and right. So The weather station has posted 2,800 miles from Moscow and closer to northern capital, or northern Canada, I should say, than the Russian capital. The polar bears are common in the area. They live there. It's their house. And it's surrounded by pack ice in the winter. But the local population this year has doubled to somewhere around 12 to 15. Normally, there's five or six polar bears that generally hang out in the area.
Mm-hmm. But Sarah Palin has a good view of all that.
Are these Canadian polar bears maybe vacationing?
It could be. I don't know.
Could be spring break for
them. I mean, are you going to ask for their passports? I don't. It seems dangerous to me. I don't know. The bears live in the Arctic. You can't ban them from hanging around, says station supervisor Vasily Sheshenko. Some of the bears are actually mocking the meteorologist. Some of the bears have taken to sleeping right outside the windows of the outpost. They're just outside going, come on out.
Yeah. How you doing?
Come on out. Anybody got a pee? Yeah. Come on out.
I bet they're filming the Coke commercial for the holidays. You know, those polar bear
It'd be
Coke
funny if they were like lazy actor bears and they were just there on a shoot.
I'm in a union.
Since going outside amidst the animals is out of the question, the meteorologists have had to abandon some of their work. Gee, do you think? And they're hoping to get back alive. They are not in immediate danger if they stay inside. There's a weather bureau in a town called Agagagag, 1,200 miles south of the islands. It's a week away by boat.
Run!
Yeah, how do you get to the boat?
What do you do if you encounter a polar bear? I know you would say...
Give him a Coke.
Oh, that's all you have to do?
Give him a Coke.
You stare him down?
I wonder if it's any different than if you encounter a grizzly bear in Yosemite. I mean,
they're Diet Coke. Yeah, they're different.
Got it.
The meteorologists work in one-year shifts, get supplies from the occasional ship that passes in their direction. But at this point, the ships aren't stopping to drop off anything. The animals suffer from the effects of global warming because it shrinks the floating ice that forms the main hunting ground. They are said to be not desperate, but do appear to be hungry.
Yeah. Don't stare them down.
No, see, we're just really cute. You should come out. We're really cute.
But I mean, they got to get out of there eventually, right? I mean,
mail call. Mail call. It's not mail. It's a polar bear. Land shark.
Wow.
File a complaint with the union. The polar bear union.
So as you go to work this morning, you think you got trouble? You don't have polar bears outside your window.
If we see them out of here... On Michigan Avenue?
Anything's possible on Michigan Avenue. We'd see a guy in a polar bear suit who thought he was a polar bear.
Yes.
Yes. The Wang Dang Doodle Picks coming up. Or is it pick day? It is pick day, isn't it? Stand by for that. And Jordan Goodman answers all your money questions next hour. This is 720 WGN.
Hug it, chug it, football!
It's Wang Dang Doodle time. Oh, boy, not again.
That's right. Wang Dang Doodle it up. Season 2 of the Wang Dang Doodle. Let me go live to my mom here for a second. Good morning, Mommy.
Morning, dear. You've certainly gone to an elaborate scheme to call your mother once a week, haven't you? Oh.
Did you know you finished second last week?
I did?
Yeah.
Whew. Well, you know, you're dealing with a professional here.
Do you know who finished first?
Andrea, probably.
Thank you, Ann. You're so sweet.
It was me.
You're kidding. You never finish first.
Nice that you have such high expectations of your son, Mom.
Somebody has to keep that ego in check, and that's what I'm all about.
Well, thank you for that. Yes, I was first. You were second. It was very close, I think. Sandberg, how close was it? I don't even know. It was pretty close. I mean, I don't need the exact number, but wasn't it close?
Yeah, it was within like 20 points. So.
Yeah, 20 points in our game. A long history of scoring, and 20 points in our game is close, Mom. It was close. It was a dogfight at the end.
Would you please inform your listeners how you're scoring this thing? Because this listener doesn't understand it at all.
It's very simple, Mom. It's a QBR rating in combination with a point differential and a pick of a win of a game that you choose. It can't be the same as any other game chosen by anyone previous to you. The QBR rating, of course, is a conglomeration of figures that show a quarterback's relative success in the course of a standard NFL regular season football game. Sandberg, that sums it up, doesn't it?
It does.
Employees of Tribune Media and their immediate families are not eligible.
And no rebroadcast of this transition is permitted without the express written consent of Major League Baseball. I think that's, Mom, that's obvious.
What?
All right, so let's go to the picks. You have to pick what? Well, Sandberg, explain this. You got to pick a quarterback?
Yes. A quarterback. You're going to tell me a win, the game, and who you think is going to win, and then I need the points. What do you think the score will be?
The score and the quarterback. Andrea. Yeah.
John DeCasse is writing down who he thinks he's picking, whoa, and he's ninth. The ninth pick.
Oh, yeah. We didn't, I didn't explain the other part of this. For those of you not familiar, yeah, there are two teams here.
Right.
So we're doing the do cares right now.
The, yes, do cares and time the don't out cares. Yes.
Time out. Yeah. As the captain of the don't cares, yeah, why don't the don't cares get to pick first this week? Because
well, because
we,
you don't care.
We pick
I
second
care
every time.
I'm the
Mary
captain. I care about the don't cares.
But the don't cares don't get to pick first because they don't care.
All right, back to me. It's totally wrong.
Well, take it up with the commissioner.
I will.
Who's asleep right now.
Okay.
All right, Andrea, your ready quarterback is?
My quarterback this week is Andrew Luck.
Luck.
Andrew Luck. Right.
Has anyone else picked Andrew Luck yet?
No. She's, nobody, he's still on the
he
board
hasn't had any. Okay. My game, Seahawks over the Rams. I'm going 31-21.
31-21. All righty. And now Dave.
Quarterback Drew Brees. Detroit 27, Tennessee 17.
All right, we're off to a good flying
one
start.
Good one.
A lot of emotion in the room.
Jake, yeah. Mike Jacobson.
Hello.
All right, Jakey Jake.
All right. I'm going to go with Joe Flacco as my quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I had Seattle at the Rams, but I can't do that now. So Andreas stole that. So I will go Dallas beating Washington, and I'll go 21-13.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cochran.
I'm going to go with Russell Simmons from Def Comedy Jam, the head ball coach, quarterback, if you will, of the Seattle Supersonics.
Russell mm-hmm Wilson.
I'm sorry?
I think so.
Wilson?
Russell Wilson, Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
That's my quarterback. Go. And I will pick the Bears on Monday night to lose to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, you knew that was coming. No. Oh, yeah.
17-16.
No. Yeah. Yeah, he's on our team.
We always lose on Monday night. Bears.
Yeah, I mean,
and let's go to Mom.
Woo, Ann.
Okay, I've got Ben Roethlisberger because I know you're so fond of him.
I don't like him at all.
Big Ben. And
I like him better than Trump.
Oh my God, that's not saying much.
No,
the Arizona Cardinals over Tampa, 28-16.
Excellent.
Yeah, Ann.
How annoyed were you when the Saints lost last weekend? Since New Orleans is your favorite city.
I wasn't annoyed that they lost because they'll make a comeback. I'm annoyed that you won.
That's my mommy. How's the mob booking going where you run numbers for the mob during football season? Is that working out for you?
Not real well. I need to make some new investments.
Okay. All right. Good, good, good. All right. Well, thanks for getting up for the show. And I understand you're going to be on Eric and Kathy in 10 minutes if people want to hear you there.
Be a lot more fun.
Oh, I love your mom. She's the best. She is funny. Come
She's
on.
She's not really doing the Eric and Kathy show. She's doing Steve Harvey, and that's in 20 minutes.
You're listening to The Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago on 720 WGN.
Forget about the fairy tales being woven by both candidates in regards to their definition of what they can do with the economy, because they can't. You know, the only presidential promises that ought to come out of Hillary or Trump's mouth is, nope, we can't pay for it. We're just saying this to try to get you to vote for us. That would be a truth. Jordan Goodman joins us from Colorado. Actually, talk about the economy. Talk about money. Good morning, my friend.
Great to be with you again, Steve.
What are you doing in Colorado?
Oh, speeches and helping people and radio shows and TV shows, you know, doing what I do.
Were you in Denver?
I'm going to Colorado Springs lately, and I'm going to become a converted Christian, I think.
Well, that's good for a young Jewish man like yourself.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. But Colorado Springs is beautiful.
It is. It is. Maybe I should join the Air Force. That would be safe.
I don't think they'll take you at this point.
You're right.
For the safety of America. We will give you a series of companies, of investments, of different things that Jordan has vetted and believes in and works with, frankly, every day and has thrown his own money at to consider as you go through your various issues and problems over the next couple of segments. So if you have something in your life that's troubling you, you could call or most readily text at 312-981-7200 and say, I got this or that. We'll try to get to as many of those as possible. I think I saw this the other day. We're over $1 trillion in student loan debt now.
Oh, yeah. Well, student loans is up to $1.3
trillion. Nice.
You're shortchanging us by $300 billion, Steve. You've got to get on the program.
Right. What's $300 billion amongst friends?
Credit cards just went over $1 trillion as well. But on the student loan front, yeah, well, the kids are back in school now, which is nice, and that means the meter's starting to click again. You know, I talk to Jan Listers all the time. I had one recently. She has three kids. The oldest one's a junior in college who already has about $80,000 in student loan debt, and then the next one's a senior in high school and then a freshman in high school, and she makes like $60,000 a year. So it's like, do I just slit my throats now, basically? What? I
mean, no kidding.
People are just overwhelmed with student loan debt. So there's some things they can do. Once they've got them, they can do consolidation. There's a federal consolidation program that will help a little bit. ConsolidateCollege.com is a website to help them there. They take the average of all the different ones and you make one payment instead of many different payments. That can help you a little bit. A bigger thing is actually to refinance your student loans. And a lot of people don't seem to realize you can do that. You take them all, press federal loans, private loans, all of them combined into one. And there's a place called Social Finance that'll help you do that. SoFi.com/MoneyAnswers. I know it's me that way. You actually get $100 off your first payment that way. So instead of paying 4, 5, or 10 or whatever it may be, you pay like 2-3% depending on your credit. Again, SoFi, SoFi.com/MoneyAnswers. That's helped a lot of your listeners recently.
That handles the student loan question at the outset. If you have some more specifics in regards to student loans, you can throw that at us. But are we doing anything legislatively about this?
Well, one of the things they just did is they closed down the largest for-profit colleges, ITT, Technical Institute, last week, which left 45,000 students in the lurch and 8,000 faculty and staff. So they've got their student loans, but they don't have diplomas. They don't have credits. They just got kicked to the street, basically, with no education and even more loans. That's what we're doing administratively, yeah.
Well, we talked to Senator Durbin about this yesterday. Didn't you have the inkling that he is going to try to get something through to relieve the burden of these loans for the kids that aren't getting the education?
Well, I mean, Clinton talks, certainly Bernie Sanders talked about it a lot. Just make it free for everybody. That sounds good.
Yeah, but that's idiotic. But we know that's idiotic. There's no way you can pay for that.
Right, right.
And it's as idiotic when Hillary says it as well.
How are you going to do this? The cost of college is just going up. And actually, the state schools are going up at a faster pace than the private schools because various financial aid to the schools is being cut back. So I'm seeing huge increases. Like, I think California this year is going to be about 30% at the University of California system. And that probably happening in Illinois as well, right? When they're having all these budget problems, they pile it on the schools. So if anything, tuition is going up much faster. I mean, overall inflation is growing at maybe 1-2%. The rate of inflation of college education is much, much higher. And in many cases, people are not getting jobs because they're not getting qualified for the jobs that are out there. And the good news, Steve, is that there's tons of jobs out there that they can't find people to meet the criteria. The Federal Reserve puts out what's called the Job Openings Report. It's called the JOLTS Report. And they just came out last week, 5.9 million jobs are open, and they cannot find people to meet the criteria. So there's a big mismatch between all these unemployed people and the job openings. That's something politicians could really do, which would be great, is get people trained for the jobs that exist.
Jordan, go back to the financial aid portion, though, for a quick second. What happened at ITT, I guess in the other institutions as well, the for-profits, will that influence at all financial aid for everybody else as a whole, for all the other students?
Well,
will make
it tougher.
Easier?
It
okay,
it tougher.
Tougher.
Yeah. I mean, what was happening with ITT was they were getting about $580 million a year in financial aid, and when the government pulled that, they closed down the next day. I mean, it was all based on federal loans, and in many cases, people graduating from those for-profit schools were not getting the jobs they were promised, were not getting credits that were transferable to other kinds of colleges. So I think there was something illegitimate about it, but not as much as closing the entire thing down and leaving 45,000 students hanging there, you know, because they were doing some good things as well. I just don't think it was like all good or all bad, but now the whole thing is gone. And this has happened to, there's one called Corinthian Colleges. There have been several of these that have been closed down, And, you know, those people are really stuck. Can you imagine you've got, whatever, 30,000 student loans, and you don't have credits, you don't have courses, you don't have criteria to get a job? It's a just tremendous problem out there.
A texter asked about a loan forgiveness problem or program for government workers. Are you aware of that?
Yes, that's correct. That's what's called the Income-Based Repayment Program, the IBR program. And if you work for the government, state, local, or federal, if you also work for a nonprofit group, like a 501c3 or something like that, you pay the minimum on your student loans for 10 years, and after that, no matter how much you owe, the rest of it is forgiven. That is correct. The place I gave you before, consolidatecollege.com, can help you sign up for that so-called IBR program, Income-Based Repayment Program. They try to encourage people to work for the government and nonprofits, so that's one little benefit is you get your student loans written off after 10 years.
What about saving now for college later? You got a little kid, or in my case, you've got a brand-new grandbaby?
That would be a good thing, because every dollar you can save up front, Steve, is one you don't have to borrow when you get to college. I mean, probably the easiest way for most people are the college 529 plans. We can put in a good amount of money. Depends on which state it is. But in many cases, you can get a state tax deduction up to about $5,000 for your contribution. And then when you get to college, all the money is used for college and is tax-free. So that's a good one. And you can do just index funds and things inside your 529 plan. I actually did a book about this called The Ultimate Guide to Student Loans, which you can get at theultimateguidetostudentloans.com.
You can also get all those linked through moneyanswers.com, I assume.
Absolutely.
Back with more Jordan Goodman. Keep your questions coming in by text. We'll talk about the candidates and their cluelessness on the economy and the fact that, you could vote for now. You could vote for Gazoo. Remember the little Flintstones guy that would fly around? That's my new endorsement. 729, back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar.
Which of the candidates could wipe $1 trillion from the U.S. economy? According to an Oxford economist. We'll get to that in just a second. In case you missed the answer to John DeCause's first trivia question of the day for tickets to the show coming up at Governor's State with Rocky Laporte, Pat McGann, John, and me on September 24th. The question was...
The question was, 1981, two players, both Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish, traded to the Boston Celtics. They are future Hall of Famers. Who were they traded for?
And, Sandberg, you're going to tell me who won this. Who were they traded for?
The answer is Joe Barry Carroll from Purdue.
Right?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
He went to Golden State. Robert Parrish came over, and the exchange was the draft choice. So they took Barry Carroll number one, and Kevin McHale was, I think, taking third or fourth.
That's a bad trade.
That's a horrible
trade. That's a really bad trade. That makes the Lou Brock trade look acceptable. So, Sandberg, who won?
A gentleman by the name of Lee Ream, and apparently he knows Pat McGann, but they're not related, so I still allowed him to win the tickets.
Yeah, because McGann wouldn't give him comps. Question number two, John, coming up here in a few minutes.
Perfect.
Let me go to Jordan Goodman. Jordan's in Colorado on business, talking to people about money. Moneyanswers.com is where you can go to get your money answers. All right, Jordan, so an Oxford economist says one of these candidates could wipe $1 trillion from the U.S. economy. It happens to be Donald Trump.
Yep.
$1 trillion. So we're all invested in the market, whether we know it or not, or 401ks and different things. Should we do any should we adjust prior to November 8th for whatever the outcome is, or is that just...
Yes, we should.
Okay,
yes,
what are we doing? Should. We going all and cash?
You're seeing that the market's already getting volatile. The more that Trump gains in the polls, the more people get nervous, actually, because, I mean, on several fronts, the trade war that he could potentially start would be catastrophe for the world economy. I think the deficit would go up a lot under him because he would decrease taxes at such a great amount that they have an awful lot of money, less money coming into the Treasury, while he would increase spending on military big time, who knows how many hundreds of billions of that, infrastructure, all kinds of things. So, yeah, I think it could really happen. People are getting nervous. The markets have just been wild lately, Steve. They had been pretty calm in August, but came September, markets soared and then plunged. and then Seward, and then yesterday they plunged again. So you just never know. I think it's a time to be safe. I really do. I don't think you want to be a hero in this kind of very volatile environment. We never know what's going to happen here. I mentioned this last month, and this got a very big response from your audience. A nice, safe place to earn 8% commercial real estate income funds. And because what you're doing is you're getting monthly checks. At the end of 18 months, you can get your money back. You can keep it in as long as you like. You can get those checks, or you can reinvest it back and earn 8%. And then starting about a year later, you get an additional what's called a profit share. So when the buildings that they're lending to are sold at a profit, you as the investor get a piece of that profit as well, which is another maybe 2, 3%. So it's a way of getting somewhere 8 to 10% extremely safely with no fees or commissions of any kind. There's a website people can find out about it, commercialrealestateincomefunds.com. They've also got a phone number, 888-444-2102. It does not have any market fluctuation. Okay? This is driving people crazy with the market soaring and plunging
but
all the time.
Everybody's not going to sell off before November 8th, everybody meaning everybody. But right. If a lot of people do, that creates a momentum that creates a problem as well, right?
Exactly, exactly. Now, you remember when Obama got elected the first time in 2008, we were in the middle of the financial crisis, right? October, November
right.
2008.
Right.
That's one of the things that got him elected, was people were freaking out. They said they want something different from what they had before. We could have something like that. Now, Trump has...
But we don't want broke. Different from what we have now, it could be broke. We don't want broke.
We don't want broke. I agree with you. Now, Trump has insulted a lot of people and groups of various types, but... On Monday of this week, he insulted somebody who hasn't been insulted like this ever, as far as I'm concerned, which is Fed Chair Janet Yellen. He called her blatantly political and that she's keeping interest rates low to get Obama reelected.
Yeah, and I want people to pause and just consume and absorb that for a second. What that, Trump is claiming...
That is the ultimate insult for a Federal Reserve. They try to be as non-political as
right.
possible.
Right, and Trump is claiming that the...
that's like hitting their raw nerve with a steel knife.
The Fed chair is specifically colluding to get Obama, to get Hillary elected.
Right, right.
Here's a statement. Roll it, Jake.
Well, it's staying at zero because she's obviously political and she's doing what Obama wants her to do. And I know that's not supposed to be the way it is, but that's why it's low. Because as soon as they go up, your stock market's going to go way down, most likely or possibly. And don't forget, I called Brexit. I did a lot of calling. And I think she's very political. And to a certain extent, I think she should be ashamed of herself. You know, they want to keep the market up so that Obama goes out and let the new guy, whoever that new... Let's call it the new guy, okay, because I like the sound of that much better. But that the new person that becomes president, let him raise interest rates or her let raise interest rates, and watch what happens to the stock market when that happens, okay?
The thing that's amazing about that statement, Jordan, is not just that it's patently fact-free, is it just seems to show a lack of understanding in the economy from a guy that's made a lot of money or says he has.
Exactly. And he's one of the biggest beneficiaries of low interest rates that could be, right? He's borrowing at zero.
Right.
To build these huge buildings.
And his entire, the king of debt.
Later,
he's
right?
all about borrowing.
Exactly.
So I
think that's really an incredible insult to the Fed chairman, the Federal Reserve in general, that tries to be as even-handed as possible. Now, next week, they have the meeting on whether they should raise rates or not. I think they should not raise rates because there are a lot of signs of economic weakness all over the place. And they would clearly like to raise rates, Steve. I mean, they've said for a while. At the beginning of this year, they said they'd like to raise it four times. They haven't raised it at all yet. They would like to, but I just think the economic conditions are too weak to do so. That's the reason that they're not raising rates, not to get, you know, Obama's legacy continued on with Clinton.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. We'll come back, talk credit cards, talk mortgages, talk things of that nature in a moment. MoneyAnswers.com. It's Jordan Goodman. And by the way, Hillary is also touting this free college, discounted college, and the ability for moms and dads to stay home. Look, it's all great ideas, but it has to be paid for. And neither candidate has a plan to pay for it. Neither one.
Correct.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo! Woo! Ow!
Love that money.
Jordan Goodman here. Let me fly through some text, Jordan. MoneyAnswers.com is your website. From the earlier discussion, Government workers in a loan forgiveness program. I've been teaching close to 10 years. Remind everybody what that government worker program is.
It's called the Income-Based Repayment Program, the IBR program. And you have to be working in either the federal, state, or local government. Teacher would be fine. Or the nonprofit sector. You have to be enrolled in the program, and then you pay on the minimum on your student loans for 10 years, and after that, no matter how much you owe, the rest of it is forgiven. But you have to be enrolled in the program. It's not just because you've been teaching for 10 years. They got to know about you in the program.
Right.
It started in 2009, actually.
And another person checks in and says, I've been working for the government for 12 years. Can I sign up, or do you have to sign up when you get the job? Of course you can sign up now. Can't you?
You can sign up now. Yeah. The website to go to find out about how this works in detail is consolidatecollege.com and ask about the IBR, the Income-Based Repayment Program. They give you all the details.
Let's see. Both my kids have masters and work in the not-for-profit sector. The federal student loans will be forgiven as long as they work in the NFP after 10 years. Are they deferred in the meantime?
Well, they're not deferred. You have to make the minimum payment on what the student loans are. So you don't make no payments, but you make kind of the minimum payment. And then as long as you stay current and as long as you stay in the nonprofit sector, after 10 years, it's all forgiven.
Again, all the businesses that Jordan references from MoneyAnswers.com, he either has invested his own money in or he has worked with in the past and has vetted them and puts his name on them. So when you go to MoneyAnswers.com, Jordan Goodman's name is on all the stuff he's talking about and recommending.
Correct.
Andre.
Jordan, if you have a little bit of extra money, should you pay off, say, a car loan? Not so much a student loan, but is that advised, or should you keep that going for the credit?
The thing about a car loan is you have a depreciating asset, Andrea. You know, I like to invest in things that are going to appreciate and not depreciate. So you can pay it off a little bit faster. There's actually a website that can help you pay your car loan off in a more affordable way because a lot of people took on car loans and not able to afford it, basically. What you do is you stretch out the car loan payment that way. I would not put a lot of extra money towards paying down a car because it's a depreciating asset.
Okay.
All right, credit cards. Everybody's got them. They're almost as bad as student loans. Most people think they're worse, but student loan debt is actually worse in this country because it's a bigger chunk. But here we go, nickel and diamond, all the way up to the point where we're over $1 trillion. What are we doing about credit cards?
So first thing, get better credit cards. You don't have to be putting up with these ridiculously high rates. A free website to do that would be guidetocreditcard.com. They've got a link to it on moneyanswers.com. If you have a lot of credit card debt at high interest rates, the banks are not going to give you a break, basically. You got to go to a nonprofit credit counseling place because they can get you typically 6%, 7% rates, something like that. My favorite one there called Cambridge Credit Counseling. I know they've helped a lot of GN listeners in the past. Their website, cambridgecredit.org. Their phone number, 800-897-2200. They've already got deals with Bank of America and Wells Fargo and Chase and all these places to get you like 6%, 7%. You would make one payment to Cambridge. They pay the credit cards. You get out of debt in whatever, 2-3 years, depending on what happens. Now, this is assuming you don't have a card from Wells Fargo that you don't know you have. Okay, remember, there was 2 million accounts were opened without people's knowledge.
Right. Right. This is a huge deal. And the woman that actually headed the department that did this is retiring this year with a golden parachute of $140 million.
That's right. Well, she deserved it because of all the accounts that they opened.
Yes.
They fired 5,300 people. And it's as though they didn't know this was going on. I mean, this is just beyond. This is kind of like what happened with Volkswagen. It's like, oh,
I was going to
really
say, what does this do? What does this do to Wells Fargo in the big picture? This is one division of Wells Fargo, but what does this do to Wells Fargo overall?
It's very bad for their reputation, and banks' reputation is important. You know, see what happened to Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns. Their reputation didn't last too long. So, I mean, in general, it had a good reputation, but this is a systemic thing. This is not some rogue employee somewhere. They were being incentivized to open accounts, and what they would do is they would open an account in your name. You didn't know about it. And then they would immediately close it. But at least they met their sales quota, is what was going on. It's one of the most outrageous things I've ever seen.
Yeah, and it's not going to go away. Never enough time with Jordan Goodman. MoneyAnswers.com for all the resources that you have. and need and have to get to and save money and send him an email, and he'll come to your house. He will. It's Jordan Goodman. Thank you, buddy. Couple of minutes for 8. John has a question before the news, which is next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah. Kiss me, kiss me,
8:12 in the morning, and the Steve Cochran Show continues, sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks in this 8 o'clock hour. And Dean Richards joins us live from Channel 9 on primetime day. How you guys doing?
It's exciting. Yeah, there's a tangible electricity in the air.
Is there a palpable buzz?
There's a palpable buzz.
Can you sense the excitement as the hairs on your arm are standing on end? Well, you're hairy. You're Greek. You got a lot of hair.
That's a big thing. That actually could cause a catastrophe. You know how you know this is such a big deal? All the big-time mopes on the show have taken the morning off.
Yeah.
You know, so they can be well-rested for tonight.
Oh, they couldn't pull a double.
Yeah.
Oh, how difficult.
Oh, I got to get up and go. Oh. I got to get up early and then come into the prime
so
time
show. So leaving
at
10 o'clock and coming back at 5:30 or 6, because right. Don't tell me they're coming in before then, and getting into makeup. It is a lot like coal mining.
It's exhausting. It's hard work. It's like shoveling dirt.
Yeah.
Doing the show. I'll tell you who's here today.
You.
I'm here. Anna Belleval is right here.
Yeah.
She's right next
Anna
to me.
Anna Belleval!
Anna, say hi. Say hola to Steve Cochran.
Buenos dias.
Hey, sorry I missed your birthday.
did you say buenos dias?
So you understood.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, so we she said it in English for us.
So you people understand.
So we non-Hispanics.
Why does she always have to use you people when she's talking about
me? You know,
me?
My mom, you know what? I have to change that. Larry Potash took offense to it once.
Yeah.
And I think it's because my mom would say that to my dad and my brother and I.
Hey, happy birthday a week ago.
To your family?
She would treat us like that. The Bellevals
like
were separate from her.
Happy birthday.
Me?
Yeah, wasn't it like a week ago?
It was the 23rd, Steve Cochran.
23rd of August?
Yes.
Yeah, happy birthday a month ago.
That tweet would have been nice.
Yeah, I'm sorry, this is good for Steve. This is good. If you're
really?
If you're within the quarter, you're good with Steve.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. Thanks for your fake enthusiasm and good luck tonight.
Mike Toomey's here also. All the rest of the mopes. Oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I gotta.
What do we call ourselves? The B team?
We are the B
team. Yeah, the B and C team are here.
Yeah.
So Potash and Robin and Conrad all took the morning off.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow, that's embarrassing.
Yes. Lourdes is there too. Isn't Lourdes part of the special?
Lourdes is here.
Yeah.
Dan is here.
Now, things are going to get weird tonight.
Demetrius and Aaron are here.
Yeah, so like tonight when they come in, they're going to be super tired, and Dan will be wearing Lourdes' dress. But, I mean, it, you know, those are the things that are going to happen.
What else is there? It's Wednesday. What the heck?
That's what will happen.
It's a big show, though, Steve. We've got Kitty Cats. We've got, as I'd mentioned, with my vast contacts with A-listers, you can only imagine who we have on tonight. I'm not even going to say almost. Every single one of them turned us down, but we still have some pretty good celebrities on the show.
No Mel Gibson?
No Mel Gibson.
No Meg Ryan?
No Mel Gibson, no Meg Ryan, I'm afraid. Deborah Winger couldn't make it. Tommy Lee Jones was busy.
It's a shocker.
All my favorites. We were going to have a live wrestling match. I thought, you know, finally, let's put the gloves on and get this settled once and for all.
We could do, until this whole CW primetime thing has worked out at Channel 9.
Well, it's worked out.
Well, I know CW's not on, but we're doing all these primetime specials.
Oh, until we have a regular
things.
Primetime.
Yeah, so as a primetime special, here's what I'm thinking. And it could be 30 minutes, it could be 60. Celebrities who have told Dean to F off.
And, oh, I would love that show.
And we just have Dean sit down with all of them and see if they do it again.
I love that idea.
All right, so here's the deal. Coming up, Katie Couric's getting sued, and she was on this show. Uh-oh, I hope I'm not going to have to do anything in the deposition.
You may have to testify.
Katy Perry's in the news.
All the important Katies.
Hey, Katie, my eyes are up here. There's a new musical coming based on a new hit movie because Broadway can't think of anything new. And more on the Chicago Hamilton cast who are wandering around town rapping.
What? Hamilton's coming to Chicago?
I don't know if you heard.
What?
At 8:16, we go back to Mary for traffic. Mary, are you still bitter?
No, I was never bitter.
Oh, about the football thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What's the football thing?
The Wang Dang Doodle football picks. We have two teams this year, Dean. We have the Do Cares and Don't Cares. Mary's in charge of the Don't Cares. And we're having her team pick 2 minutes before the show ends today.
Yeah, like that's going to happen, right, Dean?
So actually, you know what, Dean? We're bumping her to your special tonight on Channel 9.
Great. That's okay.
Oh, thanks.
If you can do it with kitty cats, that's even better.
Man, you guys need the material.
We're all about the kitty cats tonight.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richer, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
821. Hardest working man in the WGN newsroom.
Steve, I'm just learning that Anna Belleval got her car towed. Can we help her?
From the WGN parking lot?
No, not from the WGN parking lot.
Well, where'd she get her car towed?
That's how you find out.
That's a bad sign if they towed it from work.
Is that? I was listening to you yesterday. You said they changed locks on your office because I don't have an office.
Yeah.
They towed my car. I'm kidding. No, it was from the city. I parked at a place where there was street cleaning. And
were you working?
I was doing something for work, like getting a manicure.
Anna, you know what? Somebody else did TV
getting
taught
my,
me that,
my
too.
My eyebrows waxed. That's for work.
That's what I'm going to do after the show today.
Anna, my car was towed one time, and I did that. I actually showed my press ID, and they said, great, you can go to the front of the line and pay the $200 and pick it up first.
They were not liking my sense of humor or my daughter's adorableness. They were very... Very.
How much did it cost you to get your car back?
Dude, it was $170 at the pound and $60 for the ticket.
Why don't you just, Potash can't sit on his wallet when he's doing the show because he leans hard. So just go into his desk and grab his wallet. Just take it out of there. He's not going to notice.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Did they write with chalk on your window?
Yes, which was really demeaning. That My daughter's like, why did they tag us like that?
That takes only probably 6 months to get off, I would say.
Are you serious?
Oh, you could run it through the car wash 10 times on it.
How old is your daughter?
She's almost 9.
How does she know graffiti tagging lingo?
I'm not going to answer that. Because
Mom and daughter day. Anna Balavala tagging a bridge.
Any way I answer this, it was going to be offensive. And it's Hispanic Heritage Month, so I'm just going to leave it at that.
So I just learned this as well, that they take the cars to the dog pound? I thought...
No.
It's my understanding.
John bumped his head. Morning News Primetime Special tonight at 7. I'm sorry we haven't had a chance to mention that yet, but you can watch that on Channel 9.
Steve, can I mention, we only have one microphone for me here, because I'm usually doing this alone.
Yeah.
So Anna had to lean into the microphone.
It's the best day you've had in a long time.
She smells delightful.
Yeah. I do.
You do smell delightful.
Yeah. I would have left.
You're the first person I've smelled here at the station today.
I'm telling you right now, I would have completely allowed her to walk on that ticket if I was the guy in the booth. Completely.
No, well, the story
if
is
he knew how she smelled, he would have.
2 weeks ago, I almost got towed while working, and Mary and I were on Facebook Live, my camera woman, and our truck operator called and said, they're towing your car, and it was pouring rain, and we got out and flashed... Not our gang signs, but our news signs, and the guy recognizes and let my car go.
Oh, well, that's nice. I thought, and if you had flashed them, it would have worked even quicker.
I should have done that yesterday.
Yeah. So use all the tools in your tool belt.
Well, I'm an outstanding citizen now.
And by the way, nice belt.
Did
you just say tool chest?
I was almost at tool chest, and then I went to tool belt. All right, Katie Couric getting sued for what?
She is getting sued because, that documentary for which you had her on the show about gun control.
Yep.
She talked to a group that was called the Virginia Citizens Defense League. She asked them a question about background checks and preventing felons and terrorists from getting guns. So she asked the question and then showed a clip that was like 9 seconds long of them just sitting there, no response, implying that they had no answer to the question. This group says that pause was there, but they did answer the question, and that Katie Couric misrepresented them. So now she is being sued for $13 million as a result of what they allege to be the misrepresentation. No response from Katie Couric, but the spokesman for the movie, the director, said it's ironic that people who so passionately defend the Second Amendment want to trample the rights guaranteed to a filmmaker under the First Amendment.
Well, here's the thing. You can't do that. Well, regardless of how you feel about the issue, you can't creatively edit to misrepresent people's viewpoints. Now, they're not going to get $13 million, but it's a small production company. and they're not going to be able to afford to fight it if the NRA's lawyers get involved. So they're probably going to have to settle, and these people will get some money for that.
Yeah, and I agree with you. You shouldn't misrepresent if that's what happened.
Right.
That's the allegation of the group. Until they see raw footage, until they see what actually happened, I would be a little surprised if, you know, Katie Kirk's a pretty reputable journalist.
But she's just taking the brunt of this because they know she has the money and she signed off on the show.
Right.
And her name's on the show. She probably wasn't involved in the editing, right?
That would be my guess.
Yeah. What's the Katy Perry story?
Katy Perry's sister had a baby on Monday. Katy Perry herself helped to deliver the baby. Because when you're in labor and, you know, you're in something like that, you want a rock star down there helping things out. This is the second time that Katy Perry has done this. She delivered the child of her older sister 2 years ago. So she delivers the baby, and then she goes to a recording studio and works on the album. She tweeted out, "Help deliver my sister's baby at 2 p.m. in the studio by 8 p.m. Get a girl that can do both, Steve.
Well, that's a very sweet story. We probably didn't need to hear that she went back to work, but I mean, and made it about her, but it's a very sweet story.
Yeah, what does that mean? She delivered the baby. So yeah. She caught the baby.
Well, you know, honestly, Mary, she's always wearing vinyl.
Yeah, I mean, big
she's
deal.
Yeah, but it's easy to clean. I mean, you know, you could be in any surgical situation.
Just take a little 409, spray it down, you're good.
That's right. That's ridiculous.
There's the cranky Mary we were looking for. Hey, by the way, Dean, have you heard Jake's impression of Mary?
No.
All right.
Come on.
Hey, Mary, are you upset about the Katy Perry story, and do you think she really helped deliver the baby?
I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. I'm not even a... And I'll tell you, I'll take that Britney Spears any day. And, you know, the impression's good, but it's not great.
It's really an attitude.
Plus, we got some problems on the Edens right now that I'm trying to get to. So I'll talk to you later.
Buddy.
She just said you're number one on camera. Married for the seventh floor. Dean was the one that said to you a while ago, there's no new ideas on Broadway. Here's more evidence.
Groundhog Day, the musical, is coming to Broadway. Harold Ramis was working on it before his death, and it opened about a month ago in London. It's doing very well there, so now they've announced the spring Groundhog Day will be opening in New York City, because I guess they can't open it here in Chicago, where Harold Ramis was from and where the film was shot.
Right.
They're bringing Hamilton here. They can't bring...
They had it doing Woodstock.
Groundhog Day, the musical, they can't bring. Speaking of which, by the way, we got to meet the cast, the Chicago cast of Hamilton yesterday. They got to see the Private Bank Theater down on Monroe Street for the first time. They got their costumes and their wigs. They did their first rehearsal yesterday. I got to sit down with the entire cast. Really nice, incredibly enthusiastic bunch of people, but nobody more excited in this group than a young man named Jose Ramos. He's the only Chicago cast member in the group. He's from Logan Square, went to the Chicago Academy of Arts, the high school for performing arts here in Chicago, and we had a chance to sit down with him before they got to work yesterday.
Chicago's very own.
Yeah, what? It's awesome. It's super, super awesome.
How crazy excited are you with all
I'm
this?
Stoked. It's crazy. You know, I went to New York to pursue my dream, and my dream brought me back home. So it's been, it's crazy. My two worlds are literally married together, my New York life and my home life. So it's like, yeah, I'm super, super like really, just to see everybody here in my old stomping grounds, just like, what? Yeah. I can't believe you're here.
It's just so like giddy, absolutely crazy giddy.
Nice kid.
It's a really, really nice kid. We'll have to bring him onto your show sometime. Yeah. You'll definitely enjoy meeting him. Let's skip the second cut with him and just go right to the third one because, you know, we got the whole cast there and, you know, they should be concentrating on script and choreography, but what we found out from a couple of the guys is how excited they are for one thing in particular that we have in Chicago.
What's your favorite pizza?
Pizza, man.
Because I just, you know, that's the first thing I do when I get to a city. I know Chicago's got some incredible food. Like, and you told me, Illuminati's? Lumelnati's. And I will be there. I cannot wait.
I'll be with him.
Because on our day off, I call it the G day.
He might wait till the day off. Right. I might have to.
He'll be there.
Boys have their priorities there, Steve.
I thought he thought the pizza place was called Illuminati's. It's like out of a Dan Brown book.
Right. It's Da Vinci Code pizza.
It may or may not exist.
Joshua Henry, who plays Aaron Burr. Chris Deshaun Lee plays Lafayette and Thomas Jefferson together. Going to get their Illuminati's on. They can't wait. They're very excited.
All right, buddy. Good luck tonight.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I'd like to tell you I'll be watching.
If we're not too tired, we may be too tired to work both shows.
I know you guys will show up.
Oh, I'm tired.
Unbelievable. 8:31, back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Four. Straight down the middle. It went straight down the middle. Then it started to hook just a wee bit. And that's when my caddy lost sight of it. That little white...
8:42 now.
Found to this day.
I'll say hi to a few people. Mark Bowling at Bill K. Chevrolet. Taking care of a little tire issue I had yesterday on the ice blue.
Oh, yeah. Did you get the nail out?
Yeah. All good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, patched up or new tire?
New tire.
Oh, man.
Renegade nail.
Must have been bad.
Well, you know, it's the ice blue. I'm surprised it didn't fix itself.
Blue Thunder.
Wow, look at that one. That was actually an ad lib. How about that? Look at that. Also, want to say everybody out at Springbrook Golf Course in Naperville. They do a nice job there every day, and they put in a whole new range and practice area there. They're getting it done.
And it was nice.
It's very nice.
You hit well.
I actually played at my place at White Eagle.
Okay.
And at the beautiful White Eagle Golf Club, we're putting in a whole new practice area around the 10th tee, which looks beautiful as well.
Very nice.
And by the way, now that the tournament season is over and I choked away the entire tournament season, I'm playing really well.
You know, it's so
funny. This is my impression of me during tournament season.
Dave and I have had the privilege of playing with you many times. You are a very good player. Crap for you is like shooting an 82.
No.
Okay, 85.
I've taken at 82 this year. Now I'm 76, 78 every day. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I have no shot at the tour they're going to be starting soon where they have 10 handicaps play for money.
I'm in that tour.
At 8:43, one of the things that I'm most proud of in regards to this show is our support for the military and military families. And with that, I welcome into studio our new friend, John. John, how do I pronounce your last name? Is it Calk?
It is John Calk.
John Calk, founder and board president of Eastlake Academy in Lake Forest. Let's start there. What do you do?
What do I do for a living?
What does Eastlake do?
Oh, Eastlake Academy is it's a Roman Catholic school that my wife and I founded on 9/10, so the day before 9/11, about 15 years ago. And it was founded, it's a little bit of a unique model because it was founded inside the Archdiocese of Chicago, but interestingly, it's run by lay people, which means we don't actually work up through the Archdiocese system. Back then, we reported directly to Cardinal George, and we started this on our own funds and our own initiative.
So how does that's not the primary reason you're here, but how does the church vet you and figure out you're okay to do this?
A lot of good meetings with Cardinal George, making sure he understood who I am and what I'm doing. It's been a change a lot since Vatican II in the 60s. It created the opportunity for lay people to get more involved in the church.
Which is great.
Yeah, this is an exact manifestation of that happening.
Well, good for you. And you have your 15th annual Family and Friends Golf Outing coming up at Deer Path. Is that Friday?
It is. It's this Friday morning at 8 a.m.
And there's a unique benefit here because, and this ties it back to the military, what are you doing for folks?
Well, it is. I'm a combat arms veteran from the United States military myself.
Thank you for your service.
You're welcome. So when I initially founded Eastlake Academy, as most people are aware, Great Lakes Naval Station is right up in the, just north of Lake Bluff in Lake County. But what most
one
people-
bad slice away.
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
from
right,
Farms.
Right.
One of the things most people don't realize is how important Great Lakes Naval Station has become. It's the primary entry point for everybody in the Navy. It's where all basic training is done. It's a big deal. And so recognizing that there's some challenges maybe with some of the local school systems that our military enlisted and officers who are assigned to Great Lakes Naval Station are required to go to, we realized even at the beginning, although we were a smaller school, that if we could provide some scholarships and some opportunities for children to get the very best academic education possible, that's always a competitive advantage in the world. And so we did what we could from the very beginning, and it's grown upon itself. And frankly, this year we'll probably raise $100,000 for scholarships for military, active duty military folks to be able to send their children to a school of their choice.
Right. So, and being able to help out, because we know we underpay our military. You know that in person.
Yes.
So because of that, being able to help our military out to get a fine education for their kids, it's a huge deal.
It's a big deal. You know, one of the things that is probably frustrating for an entrepreneurial-minded person like me and my business that I run is, you know, you can be a military officer like I was and work 60 hours a week or 80 hours a week, or you can work 10 hours a week. You're going to get paid the same thing.
That's right.
And it's a tough putt to try to do extra things for your family. And so we've been trying to make this happen since
then.
Nice
deal.
14 students in pre-K through 8th are enrolled at ELA under a military scholarship, which is very cool. So are military schools still big? Are they still accepting a lot of students?
Our military schools, yeah, or local schools in our area?
In general, the military schools.
Well, a lot of
our cousins were always threatened with, we're going to send you away to military school.
I think you may be talking about this. One of the things that's changed in the military is there's really not a lot of Department of Defense-run schools. Uh-huh. What they do is they go to local community schools where the bases are established. And sometimes those schools are good. Sometimes they're not as good. But we think choice is always the best thing. And so if we can provide scholarships so that military, active-duty military members can make a decision about where they want to send their children, we always think choice is best.
That's cool.
It's a nice deal. And you need information, it's 847-247-0035 or eastlakeacademy.org for all your questions regarding East Lake, too. Now, one of your primary partners here is our friends at Lindeman Chimney. So good for them for stepping up, too, huh?
Absolutely. Rob Lindeman's a great guy. He runs a good business in Lake County. He's been a huge supporter of helping me put this together every year.
Nice to get a good serviceman and a fireman together. You're an ex-fireman together. You're going to get good things out of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so thank you, Lindeman Chimney, for that. Tell me about your military service before you go. Where were you?
Well, sure. I was one of those guys who got a free ride to college, so owed him 5 years of active duty time in the
Seems
late...
Seems fair.
It seems kind of fair, but you'll be very disgusted when I tell you that this weird thing called the Berlin Wall fell. And this funny thing about guys driving tanks in West Germany, all of a sudden we didn't need them. So guess what they do to you? They ship you out to the reserves, and then they decide they don't want you anymore. So I'm one of the guys who owed 5 years of active duty. You got a little lucky. But still, the time we spend in the military is a big deal. I own a bank here in town called the Federal Savings Bank, and we have about 50 ex-West Pointers and Naval Academy graduates who are in our employ. So we're big supporters of the military.
Yeah, and it's a good message for somebody like you to give out to others who are business owners and entrepreneurs. Support your military staff members and employees, and especially hire a reservist if you can, and encourage them to go and do their duty.
Anybody who owns a business will tell you, hire for character. And one of the things you get when you hire ex-military, either enlisted or officers, you find people that have a certain character set, and it's what you want in your business.
And that's the one thing we found in the last 15 years or so since Gulf One, I suppose. But we found is no matter how people feel about the politics involved, people are supporting those who enlist and make the sacrifices like really never before in my lifetime.
Isn't that night and day from when we were kids and hear the Vietnam era stuff? It's a great to see their support everywhere. Nobody's against the military, thank God.
Could you still drive a tank today?
It's actually easier than you think.
If we got a tank out here, could you roll through Pioneer Court with a tank?
I think right at Michigan Avenue could be pretty interesting.
That would be a visual, wouldn't it? great to see you again. EastlakeAcademy.org or 847-247-0035. Thank you again to Lindeman Chimney and to all your partners. And this Friday morning, you'll do it again, and some military families won't have to worry about the education costs thanks to that.
Outstanding. Thanks for your support, you guys.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Let's face it, Republicans don't like to hear good news right now. But it's important just to understand this is a big deal. More Americans are working. More have health insurance. Incomes are rising. Poverty is falling. And gas is $2 a gallon. Thank you for reminding me. Thanks, Obama.
It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. Catching up on some sound yesterday. Obama ripping into Trump pretty hard and pretty consistently. Obama was talking about Trump and his lack of transparency, including the fact that he doesn't want to talk about his tax returns and other things that Trump isn't willing to give up. Oh, and the hard-hitting Dr. Oz interview. Is that today or tomorrow?
I think it's today.
Yeah, where Dr. Oz said, well, he's not going to ask him anything he doesn't want to answer.
Right.
Okay, yeah. I don't think that's technically no holds barred. Here's a little more of President Obama.
Do you want to debate transparency? You've got one candidate in this race who's released decades worth of her tax returns. The other candidate is the first in decades who refuses to release any at all. You want to debate foundations and charities? One candidate's Family Foundation has saved countless lives around the world. The other candidate's foundation took money other people gave to his charity and then bought a 6-foot-tall painting of himself. I mean, he had the taste not to go for the 10-foot version.
He's not kidding about that painting thing.
Wow.
Took money from his own charity and bought a painting of himself, a giant portrait. And by the way, we work fast around here, as you know. The minute I mentioned the lack of transparency and the sort of embarrassing claim of a no-holds-barred interview with Trump on the Dr. Oz show, this literally just in. The results of Donald Trump's recent medical exam will not be revealed on the Dr. Oz show this week. Dr. Oz was expected to release the results of Trump's physical exam, as Trump's people said yesterday, and as Trump himself said, when he appears on his show tomorrow. But Trump campaign aide said the interview will instead focus on general health issues, like the importance of an active lifestyle and positive thinking.
All right,
here's the only explanation for this. He got the results back from the physical. If you assume he actually took a physical, he got the results back from the physical, and he is being told he's got to lose a tremendous amount of weight because he's fat, and his cholesterol's through the roof, and that he has some semblance of heart disease or the risk for it at an elevated fashion, as most people who are 70 years old and overweight do. So how do you go out and criticize Hillary's health if your physical exam says that you have significant health concerns?
We think that's what it says.
Why else would he cancel?
It could say
something
worse.
It could say worse.
Yeah. Just release it.
He is such a fraud. It's fraud versus fraud. Unbelievable.
The World Series of Fraud.
John DeCause, let's get another question here. Oh, answer last hour's question.
Last hour's question, the question was, what car did Caracatus Potts drive in? It was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Be careful how you say it. It's Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And the winner is?
Shoe.
Say again?
Nancy Shoe.
Nancy Shoe. Thought Nancy Shoe had issues. Nancy Shoe. And we're giving away tickets to our show with Rocky LaPorte. He'll be on the Tonight Show on the 23rd. He'll be with us at Governor State on the 24th. Pat McGann will be there. You'll be there. I'll be there. Very funny night of comedy at Governor State. More on that next hour. But let's get one more question in.
Okay. The next question you asked for political. So here we go. What presidential candidate tried to enlist in the Marines in 1975? But was told could not see well enough and was also too old.
Which presidential candidate was blind as a bat and too old to join the Marines in 1975? First correct answer at 312-981-7200 gets tickets to the show as well. Let's go to a random caller now. Yes, random caller. Who's this?
This is David Hochberg, and I am calling to announce my candidacy for presidency. With John DeCause as my vice president, because we are both in top physical specimens, and we will release all of our medical records.
See, this is good because Hochberg is being very transparent. He's being transparent with his physical work. Hey, don't you have a seminar you ought to be kind of prepping for tonight?
I am prepping for a seminar. It's tomorrow night. Thank you for asking. And we still have about 20 seats available, and I just wanted to give your listeners the first opportunity to take the remaining 20 seats. And very easy to register. Go to WGNDavid.com.
Yeah, wrong station. Good job on the free plug in the wrong station. Nice work by you. Pull yourself together, man.
I'm trying to pull myself together. You know, the medical records will show that I have a problem with
focus,
numbers and letters.
Yeah.
WGNDavid.com. And we're going to teach people all about home buying and buying a home. Andrea was at one of them.
They're great.
In the past.
Yeah, they're very valuable. Phenomenal. Very valuable. WGNDavid.com. And for you WLS listeners, welcome. We know you're all coming over.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:11 in the morning, and the show number 733 continues. Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show, at Cochran Show on Twitter, 312-981-7200 for you texters. Mary's on the seventh floor, bitter, because as captain of the Don't Care Wang Dang Doodle team, she and her team, which includes Steve Grzanich, who knows nothing about football. You admit that, Steve, right? You know nothing about football?
No, I don't know. And yeah.
All right, good, mm-hmm. good. A lot of confidence there.
Right.
And Bennett, who is not here, Bennett's on vacation this
week. Deserter.
Also is on the Don't Care team.
He actually told me he thought it was soccer.
Yeah, so there you go.
Sandberg.
Sandberg's on the Don't Care team, basically, because she just wants the show to be over at 10. But we're missing somebody, aren't we? Or is that everybody?
Somebody that sits there with you?
Yeah, oh, apparently I didn't care that you were on the team, John.
I didn't care I was on the team.
Yeah,
so I think he didn't he do really well last week?
I did do really well last week. You're darn right I did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, okay,
now I care. I'm on the wrong team.
Of course, I won last week.
Yeah, whatever.
I love how you keep throwing that in, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
no,
that's
but
me.
I'm happy for you.
That's me. I keep throwing that in.
And just like our team, we don't care. Lord.
I'm happy for you because you're on our team.
So what I want to hear here just for a second, Mary Vandeveld, is you and Jake doing his impression of you having a conversation about what your picks might be in a few minutes. So here's Mary talking to Jake doing an impression of Mary about why she's bitter and what the picks might be. Go ahead, Mary.
Wait, I'm doing my own impression of myself?
You just be you.
I mean, can you just get the rules right? He explained them pretty easy. And, you know, we've only got another 48 minutes in the show.
Okay, Jake. You know what?
No, he's Mary.
Wait, I mean,
refer to him as Mary.
I can't talk to myself.
There's smoke coming out of her.
This doesn't make any sense. Well, who designed this anyway? This whole contest.
The way.
Jake? Mary?
I blame Sandberg. I mean, just because she is the executive producer, and and she's got the same name as me, and it's really confusing.
I agree. And I'm tired of Andrea and Dave always winning.
What? Why do I get dragged
between those two?
It's a heavy burden, Mary's.
Mr. Cat, more like Mr. Annoying. I know. It's just. Oh, God, and there's another accident on the Edens. This is just...
I
don't know what to
do. I got to go check on
you know
that.
What? Right, so. My husband he's still cleaning the boat up north. And
then there was
we
coyote.
We hit a coyote last week, and it still smells. All right, I lost it.
Bravo.
Very well done. Look at the improvisation. Well,
I think Jake just wants to take shots at everybody and pretend it's Mary.
Yeah,
saying
and then afterwards, if people get mad at him, he goes, "It wasn't me. It was Mary."
Right.
Don't get mad at somebody. Get mad at Mary.
I mean, that Cochran. Does he ever stop talking? I mean, it's
all right.
Just
stop.
Not.
You better stop now.
Yeah, quit while you're ahead.
Help wanted.
Oh, wait a second. My kids are calling. They want to talk to you, Jake.
Mary's kids are going to call you to borrow money.
Yeah.
All right, so we have a question from last hour for tickets to the Governor's State Show. That question is not being answered.
Yes, not being answered. Should I add a word to make it?
Do you have a word that you think
I do have a word?
Okay,
yes.
So again, give the question.
Okay, what current presidential candidate tried to join the Marines in 1975, but was told could not see well enough and also too old?
Okay, what current presidential candidate tried to join the Marines in 1975? But was told her vision wasn't good enough and that she was too old. Does anyone have any idea who that could be? 312-981-7200.
Wow, you added that?
No, I have no idea.
Wow. All right, first correct caller now. Somebody calling up. Is it Bernie Sanders? No, actually, it's not. At 9:15, I want to welcome in some fine folks from Governor State University. And, John, you want to do the introductions?
I do. First of all, the president of the university, Dr. Elaine, and how do we pronounce her last name?
Mayman.
That's what I thought, Dr. Elaine Mayman. And, of course, a young lady who we met when you and I were at Governor State, Keisha Dyson, who is the associate vice president of marketing and communication.
Nice to see you guys. Thank you for being here. Grab that mic right there if you bring it right in front of your mouth if you can. Get real close to it if you don't mind. All right, Prez, I want to talk to you first for a second before we talk about the show.
Yes.
I want to salute you and everybody involved with public colleges in the state of Illinois and the ridiculous financial situation you're in. You open the doors, you're providing a great education to your students, and you're getting it done. I mean, there must be tremendous pressure.
Thank you. I really appreciate those words, and I'm glad that your listeners are hearing them too. I have to say that my colleague, public university presidents, and I have been working so hard under extremely challenging circumstances to put students first and to put the state first.
The state, again, you can't change a minute of the past. All you can change is today and tomorrow and the future, right? So getting caught involved in a blame game, we know Republicans and Democrats have screwed this up. Okay, we don't care what party you're associated with. We just want these kids to be able to go to school, get the education we want. We want parents to have less stress in their lives. So you must be talking to your colleagues at other schools who are going through the same sort of thing, right?
Yes. Well, the public university presidents are a great team, and we have conference calls every week. And what we're trying to do is to support each other, do some problem solving. And, you know, the real issues really have to do with the fact that the state benefits so much from public higher education. And I think that has to be first and foremost in the minds of our elected officials and political leaders, because what's happening now can do damage that will take a long time to repair. We're doing our very best to minimize that damage for students. But I think the whole idea here is that what public higher education does is essential to democracy. It's essential to having a middle class that isn't shrinking away.
Well, I'll take it even more local. We know by way of statistics and studies over and over again, if a kid gets an education at an Illinois-based school, they are much more likely to stay in Illinois to earn their living. Therefore, we become a tax-paying partner to the state of Illinois, and they're going to raise a family here, and the state will benefit economically. So to me, you want to get it down to the brass tacks? You can pay me now or you can pay me later. And if pay me later means somebody else left the state, then more money's coming from the people that are still here, and the pressure gets even bigger.
Absolutely. And at Governor State University, 95% of our alumni stay in Illinois.
Yeah.
And they also, if we want to put it in really bold, crass terms, they become more affluent taxpayers.
Yeah.
And that pays back.
Well, this
to
is
the
all
state.
About money for the state, obviously, the lack of it, or the ability to find enough to pay the bills. But for everybody that just goes, hey, you don't have to go to college, you don't have to make that choice, go out, get a regular job, whatever, you should have the opportunity to maximize your life. And that is a bond that the state has made with these public colleges, and that's a bond that needs to continue for the greater benefit of all of us.
Absolutely, Steve. You really hit it right on the head. And in fact, there's a really important book that's come out, written, it's Bowen and McPherson. It's the former president of Princeton, former president of McAllister College, both very prestigious private institutions. But they are making an argument for public higher education. And what they're saying is that right now in America, and certainly in Illinois, family wealth is the most important factor in receiving a quality higher education. And what we're trying to do at Governor State University, we have the lowest tuition in the state of Illinois, but we are trying to provide for place-bound students, students who are the first in their families to go to a university. We call them first-generation exclamation point, because often their neighbors haven't gone to college either. We're trying to provide a very high-quality education. Only full-time faculty members teach freshmen. We have small classes. In freshman composition, it's limited to 18 students. We have students in learning communities. You don't find that kind of higher education except at very expensive private institutions.
Yeah,
but we're doing it here, and we're doing it so that we will have education available no matter what your family income is.
So for the parents that are stressing, they're saying, okay, my kid's going to Governor State, or I got a family member going to Governor State. We're in a temporary budget situation. What should they be worried about the spring? Are you good for the year? What do we know?
Well, at Governor State University, and my colleagues at the other publics are doing this too, we are putting students first. Whatever we have to do to get through this, we're going to do everything we can to protect the students. And we've had to do some very hard things. We've had to make some very hard decisions, because everything we do is good. If I could just cut out some bad things and make my life a whole lot easier. But
by the way, she's not talking about the September 24th.
Yes. Wait a minute.
That's right.
That's,
well, I'm sure that'll be good too.
Hold on.
But we are doing our very best, but we need a commitment from the state for reliable, stable funding. Families make four-year commitments to us when a student starts as a freshman.
Right.
And we are going to do everything that we possibly can to make sure that freshman from the first semester all the way to graduation has the highest quality education. But we need the state to see public higher education as an investment and not as a cost. We are an investment center, not a cost center. Right. And if that concept could be understood, and we could have, and I think there are many people who among our elected officials who understand that. It's a question of breaking through this budget stalemate and doing it in a way that, puts the citizens of this state and the state's future at the forefront.
And I would say, if you're a parent and you're wondering, well, I don't write letters to elected representatives, I don't know what to say. Well, here's what you say. You write them a brief note that says, I'm up every night trying to figure out what I'm going to do for my kid who's in the public university system. Will you please get your heads together and get a solution so that I can move on with the other stresses of my life and be happy that my kid is getting an opportunity or my family member is getting an opportunity to maximize their lives. It's that basic. It's that simple. But I'm telling you, and you know this, but I'm telling you, and Andrea, you know this, elected reps read their email.
Yes, they
elected
do.
Reps hear their phone ring. You know what they don't hear? Silence. You know what they don't hear? The best case for an elected rep who's trying to hide is to get no notice from you. They just want you to go out and vote, and then when you vote, they don't hear from you. Well, that's fantastic. There's no customer service involved there. You got to let them know that you're upset about this public university crisis in the state, or nothing's going to happen.
Thank you so much, and I hope your listeners are right now, you know, sitting at their computers and writing off the email, because you are absolutely correct. And the other thing that we are doing with our own students is to make sure that they understand what we mean by being citizens, civic engagement. In fact, in our curriculum, in every course, no matter what it is, you know, whether it's health administration, business, or political science, we are looking at ways that citizenship is part of what they're learning. If they're in a statistics course, we want them to be aware, and faculty members are helping them to be aware that statistics are going to be thrown around like crazy these next couple months, and you have to be able to analyze statistics. And we're also being very practical with our students. We're telling them directly that there's a concept called the super voter, and that it's all public in terms of how, not what you vote or how you vote, but how many times you vote in the primary and the regular election. And we're encouraging them all to be super voters. We've done a major voter registration campaign. And all of this is important in terms of citizenship. And we also believe, and we have all kinds of studies that show it, that university-educated students are going to be more active citizens. They're going to be more active in their community. They're actually also going to have better health. There are all kinds of...
All these studies back it up again and again and again. And I will say one last thing before we break and come back and talk about the show. By the way, the show will be funnier than this conversation.
That's right. This is very somber
yes.
here.
Serious, yeah.
But the last thing I want to say to the cynics in regard to this, the public university system is not asking for extra money. They're asking for the money that's already been pledged and not paid. So the money that has been pledged and promised to the public university system to keep the doors open, to keep this opportunity for kids and other people to maximize their lives, kids and adults too. So I want people to understand that as well. We'll come back in a second. We'll talk more about it. We'll tell you about the governor's state thing. You got one more question?
I do.
We have a winner of the question. The answer was Hillary. It's 9:24. We'll get you a winner. And one last question for free tickets for the 24th and tell you how you can get tickets, because frankly, you ought to pay for them. John's putting himself through school. And, you know, listen, we're just trying to get Governor State the tuition they deserve. Back with more in a moment on 720 WGN. 928, do we have a winner? The winner of the question, the last question? Sandberg, who was the winner?
Aaron Wynn.
Aaron Wynn won? So Aaron Wynn won. Okay, congratulations, Aaron Wynn. Aaron Wynn won. All right, question number four. This is for free tickets to September 24th, Governor State University, their beautiful theater there. And, John, what question topic would this be?
Question number four, again, political.
Political, okay.
What current presidential candidate was on Sabrina the Teenage Witch as Daniel Ray McLeach?
Seriously?
Seriously.
I didn't know that either. Wow. See
Give
what
it
you
to
learned.
Me again.
What current presidential candidate was on Sabrina the Teenage Witch as Daniel Ray McLeach?
Is it Screech?
No.
Oh, that's a different show.
No, that's a different show. Right,
who the hell knows?
Unbelievable. Keisha, grab that microphone if you would. We're talking to folks here from Governor's State, Associate Vice President for Marketing and Communications. Keisha, the president was very eloquent and very passionate about what she was talking about. I wanted to give you an opportunity to add in something from your department and your side.
Sure. I mean, we both...
You know what? Use her microphone since yours doesn't seem to be working very well. But move that over. I apologize. Just... there you go. Look at the president getting it done. Woman for all seasons. I'm sorry.
That's
go ahead.
That's what we're all about.
Well, one of the things that we just announced today is that we have an increase in enrollment for male minority students. We've had some strategic initiatives at Governor State University to make sure that we that the numbers of our minority students, male students, and particularly minority students, are increasing. And so we're up about 5.3% enrollment there, which is about 804 minority male students. And so, I mean, again,
campus diversity.
Absolutely. And of course, we still serve women very much, and it's not a zero sum game. We just want to make sure that we serve the whole population. And I didn't get a chance to say in the other segment, I think it's important for your listeners to hear, the state MAP grants, those are the grant, the scholarships that go to low income students. For this academic year 16-17, the state has not yet committed to pay those grants. Governor State University has committed to take the liability. Not that we're rolling in money, it's just that we have to put students first and make sure that our students are not going to be worrying about whether these grants will come through and so forth. So we just want everybody to know that.
That's great. It's another example of how you guys are stepping up.
You know, I'm really glad, Steve, you're going to come and do comedy at Governor State University, because we really have to laugh at some of the things that are going on, you know, in the world around us, or we just aren't going to be able fully to cope.
Oh, you'll be laughing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a very therapeutic evening to, you know, just to be able to laugh together.
The Springfield dunk tank that we're
yes,
together.
That's going to be a blast.
First, Keisha, one last thing too from you. The one thing I noticed when we were out for the meeting with you guys was it seems that your people, your employees, the folks on staff, professors, tech staff of the theater and stuff. Seems like you don't have much turnover. People enjoy working.
People love Governor State University. I mean, I think the president just mentioned that we're a regional university, and so most of the folks come from around the area. They work there, they live there, they stay there.
So you draw from all over.
We draw from all over, yes.
What's the website?
www.govst.edu.
Yeah, govstate.edu. Check it out. We have a winner for the give the question again, John.
Sure. The question was, what current presidential candidate was on Sabrina the Teenage Witch as Daniel Ray McLeach?
Milena Unada.
Milena Unada. Is that correct? Is it Milena?
Yes,
Unada?
It is. That's the answer.
Milena Unada.
I thought it'd be too obscure.
What party is Milena Unada representing? And the answer is?
The answer is Donald Trump.
Trump was on Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Yeah.
That's probably
did
where
did you not catch that episode? Or
no, you know, I didn't actually. But that's probably where he should have just ended it.
Yes, that's
he probably
exactly.
should have just walked out there.
Exactly.
All right, plug for the show. Where and when?
We are doing it on Saturday, September 24th at 7 o'clock at Governor State University. You can get tickets at centertickets.net or contact the box office directly at 708-235-2222. And remember, Governor State is located I-57 and 30, easy access to the metro.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
Yeah.
South of Chicago.
And we're going to have fun. What time is the show?
7 o'clock.
But it's Saturday night.
It's Saturday night.
Yeah, because 7 o'clock is normally bedtime
for exactly. me. Know, but, exactly.
Know. Yeah. No, we're going to have a lot of fun.
It'll be a great time.
It'll be great. And again, we'll just leave you with this, parents. Thank you for your support of the public university system, whether it's Governor State or the other schools. Not only are you doing something good for your kid or your family member, you're doing something good for the state. And that's a good thing. We all want to live here, unless you currently have a truck backed up to the house. We all want to live here, work here, and make it better for all of us. So thank you, Madam President and Keisha, for what you guys are doing as well.
No, thank you very
keep
much,
up the good fight.
Thank you, and you're helping us.
We
have to rally the troops on this one.
Yes, we do. And rate those emails, kids. We will make sure that show is funny that night, because otherwise the governor's going to or the president's going to start throwing punches.
Correct.
That's right. We need to laugh.
Yes, we do. Hey, did you ever notice how people make a decision to rationalize it later? Let's face it, a car can be an emotional choice. Take the all-new Chevy Malibu. Car's a masterpiece, a work of technological art. I was looking at some of the new Malibus yesterday. Because I was out of Bill K. Chevrolet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Getting the ice blue Chevy Impala, brand new tire.
Blue Thunder.
because honestly, if you think a renegade nail on the highway is going to keep the ice blue Chevy Impala from rolling, who are you kidding?
It's not going to stop.
Blue thunder.
So anyway, the new Malibus look great. Sure, you can get 16% off MSRP, and that's over $4,400 in cash in your pocket. But think about it. You're driving a car with more computer power than the rocket we sent to the moon.
Blue Thunder.
That's not a Blue Thunder. That was just a test.
We didn't say it.
Rocket to the moon.
4G LTE Wi-Fi. You know, the sad thing is, John looks like he thinks he's right.
Yeah.
4G LTE Wi-Fi that turns your car into a mobile hotspot in every vehicle as well. Connects up to 7 devices. Lane change alert, rear vision camera, braking assist. Car practically drives itself. Beauty and brains. It's not just me. It's the ice blue Chevy Impala.
Blue Thunder.
Over $4,400 cash, icing on the cake for you on whatever you're doing. But get the new Malibu. The new Malibu's great. Your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers are ready for you at ChevyDriveChicago.com, where you can find out why Chevy's the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland 5 years running. Get your Chevy. Break? No, we're here. Break? What do we do? Break? Yeah? Quick break. Back with the big story next.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
That's Allstate, Stan. Are you in good hands?
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:45 and Bill and Wendy coming up at 10. Bertrand at noon in the business hour. Bill and Wendy back at 1. Ro Khan at 3 with Anna DeVlantis. And then got the download.
Mm-hmm, Justin.
With Justin Coffin. Mm-hmm. So 7. Patty Vasquez at 11. Nick at 2. Then we're back. When do you leave for Greece?
I leave tomorrow morning after the show, so I'll be here. And then, but I think I'm going to call in next week, too, at some point.
You should call in. What's the one souvenir I want you to bring me back from Greece?
Oh, boy. You have to tell me. I would typically bring you ouzo, but you're not a big drinker. I'll bring that for Dave.
Well, not on the air.
No. Yeah. So bring that for Dave and Mary.
Okay.
And I don't know. I'll find something cool to get you guys from Greece, all of you.
Yeah, you're a good souvenir bringer person.
Bringer backer?
Yeah.
I'll get you guys good stuff, I promise.
Hard to believe I was an English major. Remember Cindy Crawford was on last week? We were talking about the fifth Star Wars?
Yeah.
Coming up, and I believe it's tonight, isn't it? Tonight,
Millennium
the,
Park.
Tonight at the Pritzker Auditorium, Allstate bringing you the fifth Star Wars. We're honoring four very special folks and Second City as well, right?
Right.
And say who you are, sir.
I'm David Woolwine from Allstate Insurance. We're sponsors of the Fifth Star Award and today sponsoring the Rising Star Award.
And David, what's your title?
I'm a Director of Community Engagement.
Yes, you are. And how many times do you go to like a barbecue, a party, you're minding your own business, and somebody comes up to you and goes, you know, David, it'd be great if Allstate would get behind this.
Hear that a lot.
Yeah, I'll bet you do. Do you make up stuff about what you really do so you don't get asked that every time you turn around?
No. We sponsor so many organizations in Chicago. We sponsor almost 200 nonprofit organizations, many of those focused on youth and really empowering the youth of Chicago. So really proud of what we do at Allstate.
Of course, We Day is a huge part of that.
We Day is huge.
And congratulations. The TV show looked great.
Great. Yeah. It was on ABC just a few weeks ago.
So schools that want to get involved with We Day, can they link off the Allstate site?
Absolutely,
for that?
And they can link up. They can go to we.com, we.org, and find it there as well as on the Allstate site.
Behind every great kid is a great mom. It's my opinion, and I believe it to be true. So let's introduce mom here first, Pamela Lucas. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Nice to meet you.
Same here. Thank you for having me.
How many kids?
I have 3.
And how old?
I have 16-year-old twins.
Okay.
Jocelyn and Jillian, and right. I have an 8-year-old. Her name is Gianna.
And the 8-year-old, is she the most work?
Actually, she's not.
Oh, she's not. It's the twins. All right.
Twin
then.
Teenage girls.
Okay. Jocelyn is here. Jocelyn Lomax, Rising Star Youth Honoree at the Fifth Star Awards. When did you find out you won?
I found out, I think, at the
end of August.
The end of August, yes. My old scene study teacher, Scott Westerman, nominated me. He is amazing.
And is this someone you had a special connection with even prior to this?
Yes, he's an awesome actor and director, and he's really amazing.
So, David, how did the competition work?
Well, as Jocelyn just said, there are nominations that we received from all over the city.
Yeah.
When we saw her nomination and looked at her website, we were really just blown away. It's awarded to someone under 18 who's already displayed great talent. and they're sharing that talent with others, and that's certainly Jocelyn.
And what is the talent in particular that you're sharing?
I am a singer. I'm an actress. I act in musical theater and on TV and movies.
You got an amazing voice, too.
Thank you.
You guys hearing that?
I knew.
Don't you love her voice?
I actually thought you were going to say journalist and then maybe model. Right?
Sure.
You're so poised.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No doubt about it. You realize the list of folks you're being honored with.
Oh, yes. It's wow.
Buddy Guy. For crying out loud, Buddy Guy.
I do love the blues.
Now, careful, though. If he starts playing, he'll probably play for about 3.5-4 hours. He's so great.
Stick around 1 second. I want to talk to you a little bit more and talk about how folks can come out and see this event tonight. Right? It's open to the public, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
7 o'clock tonight.
All right. And first at 9:49, we'll catch up on some business. Come back in a second at 7:20 WGN. Live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, we continue at 9:52. David Wolwine, Director of Corporate Relations at Allstate. Pamela Lucas, proud mom of three great girls. And Jocelyn Lomax, one half of twins. Who's older, you or your twin sister?
I am the oldest by 7 minutes.
Well, you don't rub that in her face at all, do you?
Oh, I do.
Once or twice?
Yeah, a few times.
Okay. What's your big goal? You want to do TV? You want to do film? You want to do stage? You want to be a show business, I guess.
I really want to do it all, but the biggest would be movies and TV.
Very nice.
Yes.
She a good kid, Mom?
She's a wonderful kid. I mean, stubborn. You know, she's your typical teenager, so.
What do you guys argue most about? What she's going to wear, what her hair looks like, or whether or not she got her homework done?
No, clean your room.
Clean your room.
It's universal.
Right. Exactly.
But Mom, she has an artistic mind.
Well,
she
that's
can't
the
be
problem.
Focused on organizing her room.
And I got to tell you, artistic kids are usually very challenging because of them being so artistic. You know, their thought process is not normal. It's not like your typical kid.
Why are you looking at me when you say that? The event tonight, David, tell me how it's going to work.
Yeah, it'll be at the Pritzker Pavilion in Millennium Park at 7 p.m. It's free and open to the public, so just show up and you'll see a great show. The Second City will be performing, Black Ensemble Theater will be performing. Cindy Crawford will be presenting an award to Victor Skrzynski. It's just going to be a fantastic show.
And just, you know, David, I've asked Cindy not to talk about her past. Not on mic, she and I.
The one that involves you, the past.
Was that just in my head?
Yeah,
that was probably just in my head. You guys got to be excited about it.
Absolutely. Always excited about it, particularly for this year. It's just going to be a terrific show.
How does this work for you now, Jocelyn? Do you make a speech or what do you do? Come on, you got to prep. What do you do? What is she doing tonight? She's
coming up smiling. Actually going to be
She's a beautiful girl. She can just come and take a picture.
She will come up on stage. There's a fantastic video that talks all about Jocelyn and shows some of the great work that she's done.
Well, that's very nice. What's the next thing? Now, you're a junior in school?
I am a junior.
This is the big year, man.
Oh, yes, it is.
How are your grades?
Oh, my grades are pretty darn good.
What's pretty darn good there, Cocky?
I've got, I think, 3 B's and the rest are A's.
Okay.
I'm shooting for a 4.0 GPA because I'm going to an awesome college.
We want you to go to an awesome college, and we want Mom to not have to pay for it. We want the schools to be fighting over you.
What colleges are you thinking of?
Either Harvard or...
Yeah, me too.
Somewhere in California.
Yeah. Wow. Why California? How about USC Film School?
I want to go to California because it's hot and Chicago is a little cold.
Yeah. I've noticed that.
Aiming big.
Yeah, 4 or 5 months a year that comes up. Well, I'm proud of you. It's nice to meet you. I appreciate you being on the show. And
wonderful to be here.
And I know where it starts, man. It starts with this lady right here, so you better be nice to her.
My guardian angel.
Yeah, and I know where you live, Jocelyn, now. I'll be checking in with Mom, making sure you're flying right.
Jocelyn, will you sign this for me? Because in about 5 years, I want to say I got the first autograph.
Andrea does. Yeah, I didn't mention this. Andrea sells the autographs she gets from all guests. So I'm on. And David, thank you for your continued support. Now, going forward, let's mention two things. When it comes to the Fifth Star Award, you certainly hope to make this an annual thing. Third year now.
Absolutely. Right? It's third year and hope that it continues.
Yeah. So for folks that want to know more about the process and all of that, is that also linked through the website?
You can actually go to the City of Chicago Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events website. And it'll tell you all about the Fifth Star Awards and all the other great activities that DK sponsors.
Because this Rising Star thing could be your kid next year. That's what we're saying, right? For the We Day continuation, We Day is always part of the Allstate website, right?
It is. Well, it's, and go to we.org and you can find out all the information you'd like to find about We Day. The next We Day is coming up in next week, actually, in Minnesota.
Yeah, just want to send people to the right place.
Yeah.
Nice to see all you guys. Joshua, congratulations.
Thank you.
Have a great time tonight.
I will.
Yeah, but I just wish she was confident. 956, Bill and Wendy are next on 720 WGN.